Father, again, we thank you for your word, that you want to speak to us. And your word goes forth, healing, deliverance, salvation. And Lord, you know the state that we're in. You know all things. You see everything from the beginning to the end. What we are to do is to believe and walk by faith and take it each day. Help us, Lord, to do this, through this word we now receive, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm back again in Ephesians, and as you know, we're looking in chapter 3, and we're studying verses 14 through to 21, the Apostle Paul's great prayer that he prayed for this church at Ephesus. But not only for that church, but for all of us, even for today. And of course, this is his prison epistle. He's in horrific conditions, suffering for the faith. And yet here, how this man lays aside his burdens, his trials, what he is going through. And as a result of it, he's able to pray one of the most profoundest prayers that could ever be prayed through a saint, particularly under the new covenant. And I'm just going to read this all again, just to bring ourselves back into this, to remind ourselves in verse 14, for he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Strengthen in the inner man. That's what we are calling this teaching. And I have shown you that this man is praying, interceding, and that he's praying for Christians right through the whole ages, that we stand by being strengthened in the inner man. I'm going to finish with these teachings. I think we're going to really begin to understand how important it is that we are strengthened in the inner man. Not just strengthened in the mere mind or the intellect, or to simply pray, "Well, Lord, strengthen them through their trials." Because we go through much trials in which to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is only partly part of it. We're going to see that to be strengthened in the inner man is like a platform. It's like a foundation that leads to something greater, which I want to unravel as I'm teaching this. And I can't keep going back over these teachings that we have given, but they are on our website. They're there for you to download and to listen so that you can get into this. Because I need to move on with this. And I want to now to look today and over the next few weeks as the Lord leads and if he tarries, in verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians 3, which reads, "Being may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, we find here that we come to the principle of our faith. And nothing in many ways can be higher than this. Because here our faith is to comprehend with all the saints, and I believe that that includes all those who have found in Christ Jesus the heavenly hosts there, those who are pressing in, who are believing, waiting for their new glorified bodies to be raised up with Christ, as well as the overcomers, the bride who makes herself ready. All, it speaks of all, that the ultimate of our faith is that we know the length and depth and height. These are three words that are used here by the apostle, and we're going to look at these. But what can be higher than this? That's the question. You see, many have attempted to write and preach on these few verses. And I've read some commentaries, I've looked up some various things that try to attempt to write about all of this. And here I am, a preacher, again, trying to attempt to understand and that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth and height, and to know this love of Christ. Where do you really begin to start? But you know, Revelation is interesting because the nature of Revelation is unfolding. And Revelation is not necessarily something that you immediately attain to or you see. The nature of Revelation is an unfolding. It is a seeing. And we know that the Word of God is a revelation to man. And it is an unfolding. It's a gradual learning. It's seeing more and more. And none of this can be achieved unless the Spirit is our teacher, and who teaches us and leads us and guides us. And so people who try to attempt to teach this or write on this, who do not have the Holy Spirit, you will merely have a mere intellectual understanding of God's love. And that intellectual understanding of God's love, I will guarantee you, will be religious. It will go no higher than religion. And we have libraries, we have volumes, thousands of them, if not millions, of books attempting to try and reveal and speak about the love of God. Where do you start? You will never ever embrace it and understand this unless the Holy Spirit is sovereign, unless the Holy Spirit has worked in you discipleship, the baptism of the Spirit, the deeper walk, all these things that we constantly labour and bring over to you that is so vital. You will never ever begin to draw and understand the love of God, which is so vital to the strengthening of the inner man. Unless we learn in this teaching the love of God through this, we'll never understand and draw this strength for the inner man. That's the first thing I want to say about this. We've seen back in verse 17 where it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And so we have seen about God's love. And yet the Christian's faith can be so. There are many who can talk about faith. There are many who can talk about the deeper life. And sadly, the history of the past of some of this has fallen victim to this. Where they can talk about faith, They can talk about the love of God, and yet they never enter into it, never really understand it, and have never really understood or drawn from the fact that the inner man is supposed to be strengthened and draws from this love of God. And some have fallen victim to it. We have had it in this church as well, who go away criticizing, the word, or criticizing the ministry, or it's the pastor's fault, or whatever. Anyone can do that fundamentally. It doesn't take a degree. But that shows their ignorance. That shows their pride. That shows that they're fundamentally religious. And I'm not saying we're infallible. Because I am a man of weakness. I have areas I overcome. And I'm simply a vessel being used, because God uses someone in which to convey to you that there is somebody greater and better than the preacher or the person bringing out the word, whom you rely upon and whom you get your strength from the inner man. You see, the biggest problem that affects churches, particularly charismatic churches, is this idolatry, is this looking to a leader, a person. And Satan knows exactly how to feed that weakness. And that is why you can see in so many pulpits today these so-called megastars. You know, they're just stars. And they know how to cater to man's weakness. And they draw from that elevation. They draw from it. They love the adulation. They love the recognition. They love to be worshipped. They love to hear, oh, pastor, teacher or prophet, you know, what a word you gave today. You're so anointed, so fantastic, you know. And they feed off all of that. That is completely contrary to the strengthening of the inner man. And the love of God can never breed in such an environment like that. Never does. And it becomes corruption. We see so much of that today. What is interesting here, the apostle is not in flesh with these Christians, but they receive an epistle, a letter, with him in prison, in awful conditions, speaking these profound words. So they have nobody to look to, in the natural, to elevate, which probably they might have done if the apostle had come to this church, having written that in prison, in those conditions, and here he comes, you know, and presents this to him. They would have put him on a pedestal. Look what this man has done. Look how he survived in those conditions. And not only that, he doesn't think about himself. He's praying and interceding for us. Whoa! That's cool. That's the nature of man. That's how we are. And so to get delivered from this, we have to start to be strengthened in the inner man. And God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And here he speaks about God's love, and yet the Christian's faith can be so ignorant of this love. Why? Because it's a revelation and it's an experience. That's why. The love of God has to be experienced, and that experiential side opens us up to revelation and learning and receiving more and more fundamentally of God's love. God's love is amazing. As that song tells us, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And so it goes on. God's love is amazing, and it's to be experienced. It's not a concept. It's not an idea. It's actually dealing with God's love. You see, our experience of his love, we see in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. May I suggest to you, you need, and I need, and everybody who will listen to this, needs to be strengthened in the inner man to experience God's love. That is the ultimate goal that he speaks of here. This is the heartbeat of the gospel. This is the absolute core of what he's bringing out here. This is the absolute fundamentals, the heartbeat of the Christian gospel. That you will experience the love of God. Because if you don't, we're wasting our time, brothers and sisters. Go off and enjoy the world for a season. Because it'll give you pleasure for a season. Oh boy, it'll do that. But it won't give you eternal life. But if we mean business with God, then the whole heartbeat of this is that we experience God's love. And that's our whole learning of God. That's our whole learning of his word. That is why we learn his word. Because if we do not see the love of God connected with our knowledge and learning and understanding of God's word, we have totally missed it. And many did. Many did. They left, just like the Ephesian church, they left their first love. Love. God. God is love. And they left it. And yet it was a church that was apostolic. How can someone weaning in the word, will know the word inside out, upside down, and yet can leave out the basic fundamental, which is God's love? How can man do that? I'll tell you how he does it, because it comes by revelation. And in order to receive that, you have to be strengthened in the inner man. And that's his purpose, and that's his aim. And our whole learning of God's word is that we know the person. Not some concept, some idea of God. We pray, and this apostle prayed, that they will be strengthened in the inner man, that they can experience the real risen person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would come to them experientially as a person. God is a person in Jesus Christ. A being. He is not just spirit. He is spirit. But he emptied himself, divested himself. He took on human form. And that form lives in Christ forever. We will see in glory Christ in a bodily form, glorified. He will have still the marks in his hands, his feet, as a reminder of that shepherd that gave up his life. Now, all of that is personal. All of that is not an idea. It's not something you make up. It is a reality. It happened. And is happening. God's love for us, for you, for me, is experiential. It is happening, and it's happening right now. We're here today because of a person. Glorified, risen. And that is why I always say to you, the baptism of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he comes to you personally. Not just some power. He is not it. As so often we hear the Holy Spirit said, he is a person. It is him to you. That's why he said to the disciples, I'm going away, but I will not leave you. I will come back to you. I will come back. He's speaking about himself personally, but now in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And in order for us to experience that, and to enter into our full sonship, you have got to be strengthened in the inner man. Because if you ain't strengthened with the inner man, you are going to have a problem with this person, Jesus Christ, who loves you and who's jealous over you. You are going to have a problem with that love. You are going to find that you are in a relationship that you can't really get on with. Like thousands of relationships that we have today, even with marriages, after they come together and say, oh, I wish I'd never done it. It doesn't work. And God knows it won't work with us with Him. Well, we like the idea of being saved. We like the idea of going to church. We like the idea of being Christians. But it ain't going to work unless we are strengthened in the inner man for this relationship with Christ. Because like all relationships, it's going to be tested. Try. And that's the way it is. Until we're glorified. I can't change it any other way. And so we're dealing here with a person. It's like someone, you know, I was thinking when I was preparing this, you know, I was trying to relate the Word of God, the living Word, the Word made flesh, and a person. And you may have had this, but it really ministered to me. In many ways, now as I read this Word, this is like Christ's diary. And I hope you're not offended by that, what I say. But a diary is a personal book where you write personal things, events, things that happen, reminders, experiences. That's what a diary is about. And as I read this, this book is actually quite personal. It's like I'm opening somebody else's life, their diary, and reading about it. And what I find in this diary, that they've incorporated me. And that they love me. And I'm actually in this diary. You know, this really choked me up. You may have seen that, but I haven't quite seen it like that before. And so, for me, to read this, and to learn about this, this secret book, which it is, He has to do something with me, and that is strengthen me in the inner man. Because otherwise, it can break your heart. If you are not being strengthened in the inner man, this walk will break your heart sooner or later. Will. Because we're dealing with love. I always remember when I was at music college and we were studying one of the great German composers, Schubert. And he was a Lieder composer. It means song. And they used to sing these songs often, you know, in homes, amongst a small audience. And these songs were often from poets or whatever, and a lot of them, of course, about love and so forth. But he said something. He said, nobody can sing my music until they are of a certain age and they have had their heart broken. Then they're qualified to sing my songs. I've always remembered that. But, you know, we can take these analogies and we can take them over. And most of us here, in one way or another, have experienced a broken heart. But God never leaves us in that broken state. That's the wonderful thing about it. Like life can do. There are a lot of people out there with broken hearts, and all they have become is embittered, angry, rejection, you name it. Psychological messes. See, God never leaves us in that state. Never. You see? Why? Because we are being strengthened in the inner man. To be able to stand, to be able to overcome, to be able to learn and embrace this person, Jesus Christ, who loves us, who's jealous over us, who loves us with an everlasting love, and indeed who has to work that love in us as well, in which to reciprocate. You see, this meeting is about being in the presence of a person. We're in the presence of Jesus, who is real. He's here. We don't need him to manifest himself. He doesn't have to do that, because he's here with us, in us, and through us. And in order for us to be able to come like this, we have to learn to be strengthened in the inner man. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, of which he says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What is the apostle speaking about here? He's talking about being strengthened from the... This is what he's experiencing. And his experience of being strengthened in the inner man gets him to say that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I might know him. That's what it's all about. What is the point of walking with God while you don't really know? What is the point of having relationships with people that you don't really know? And how often do you hear, you know, families, parents with children, that they don't really know one another? Because they don't give time for one another. That's why the devil's got us all so busy, busy, busy today. Because he wants to try and break down these relationships. Because relationships have to have quality time. And you have to have that with God. You get to know that person. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. I know you know these well, but I think they are very applicable. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. And here he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. So God raised him above all power, principality, dominion. He placed him into the presence of his Father. And there's a reason why Christ was raised up into that presence, into that place. So that we too can be raised up by faith into his presence before the Father. And in order for us to start to experience that, you have to be strengthened in the inner man. The Holy Spirit raised up Christ. Raised him above the spirit of this age. Above its lies, its corruptions, its deceit, its hate, its animosity. He raised him above, he brought him back into the throne of love. Placed him back there so that we too can be raised up into that place as well. God knew what he was doing in raising Christ. He was under complete control. And so as it says back in Ephesians 3 verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, this word saint is here to be separated. It's actually called the separated ones unto Christ. And so this knowledge is only for them And that is the acid test. That's why the apostle's praying for Christians. He's not praying for the world here. He's praying for these Ephesians. And of course it was going to the rest of the churches as well. So he speaks to them as saints. Not where Roman Catholics have got it wrong, that you have to be canonized to become a saint. They've got it totally wrong. We are all saints if we're found in Christ Jesus. And so the acid test is here that it's for Christians, spirit, who are going on, who are learning and experiencing this being strengthened in the inner man. In other words, by the fruit they will be known, that we become fruitful. We see a promise of this in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. And this is at the church at Pergamos. And here he says in verse 17, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written that no one knows except him who receives it." That is why you are what it says. You are saints separated. You are the separated ones. You are called out. You are being strengthened in the inner man for the purpose, through your overcoming, to receive some of the hidden manna, to be given a white stone, and on that white stone a new name written which no one else knows except you and Christ. Again, you need to be strengthened in order to receive that. You need to be strengthened in the inner man to know that God, through Christ, has a name for you. It's a love name. It's a name of a friend. What about? It's like sometimes it's people you love, or husband and wife, sometimes they have a pet name for them, don't they? You know, you think, what are they saying that for? But they know all about that, see? That's their love and their affection. It's secret. Nobody else gets involved with that. That's intimate. And so this name, this person, God, who loves you, who you love, you are going to have a pet name, an intimate name, and no one else will know that name except you and God. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? That ministers a lot to me. That again, it just opens me up more and more to God's love. How he loves us. And how he can reach down. How he can minister to us. He knows the things that please us. That we delight in. And that above all, he delights in. And remember, the idea of all of this firstly comes from him anyway. Here we are. And so, here we are. We are these saints, separated saints, separated unto him. And this is why the deeper life is so important for us to understand. There is so much in what we're preaching in this, with the deeper life, as the bride is making herself ready. She's being wooed. She makes herself ready through love, through affection, through respect, through want, through desire. It's not through law. If you see that, you totally miss it. It's because we want to. It's what we're tasting. It's what we're experiencing. It's what we're seeing. It's what's being unveiled to us. And so as we're being strengthened more and more in the inner man, we want more.
Because that's what love is about. Love is always hungry. True love can never really be fully satisfied in that sense. It's like an appetite. You want more and more and more and more. Now, can you ever exhaust God's love? Never. We will have eternity receiving more and more of God's love and fulfillment and delight in it. It will be continual delight, excitement, fulfillment, drawing from this vastness of God's love that never comes to an end. But you've got to be strengthened in the inner man. I said to you, this is quite a thing. And we're only in part in this life drawing from this. Just in part. So what is it going to be like when we are actually in eternity with him? That's why the apostle said, I have not seen nor he heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I even find the words inadequate what I'm saying today. And I'm totally relying on the Holy Spirit. Believe me. So you see, the nature here is about great love and affection between two people. And you see, for us to understand this, we've got to go back to verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Otherwise, you can't continue to preach the rest of this. And so I'm trusting that God, through what I'm preaching and giving to you today, imparting to you today, that this is going to start to strengthen this church, strengthen each one of us with this great love we're about to experience yet more. Because that's the thing that makes the bride make herself ready, which she's doing. And we're strengthened, it says. This idea of strengthened actually means to comprehend. You need to comprehend this strengthening. So this strengthening comes as we get an understanding. And so we're imparting to you an understanding that God wishes to strengthen you in the inner man. Now you can't know that strengthening because that's an experience. But as you open yourself up, as you understand this, as you look to this, as you receive this by faith, so then the experience of this strengthening starts to come. That's how it works. It's always a seed first that is sown. The parable of the sower Jesus gave. Strengthened to experience this before we can know the love of Christ. And we're dealing in a sense with the weight of God's love. And for us to be restored back as an apostolic church, because the church is going to go back to being apostolic, we've got to start to learn to take the weight of God's love. That is why he's raising pillars. What do I mean by the weight of God's love? It is loving the unlovable. It is taking on the responsibility. It is like the Good Samaritan. I will pay that his wounds will be bound up and looked after. That is weighty issues. It's not just talking about it. It's not just looking pious or whatever it is. It's taking on the weight, the burden of this love, which we're going to bear. You see, love isn't weak and sentimental. It's not, sadly, a lot of this rubbish that we see around today. Oh, I love Jesus and he loves me. You know, it's so sickly. Oh, gosh. There's nothing weak or sentimental about this. On the contrary. Love is the power of God. And you feel the weight of it. You feel the eternity of it. You feel God's glory. It throws you on your face. That's what this love does. It's like John on the Isle of Patmos, and he receives a revelation of God, and it throws him on his face. All the saints who experience this weighty love, it throws you on your face. That's its burden. That's its weight. And even God then has to intervene by his grace and mercy. Who can bear this? Who can bear this love that sees no end, that thinks no evil, that turns the other cheek, that goes that extra mile? Who can bear this? Nobody. Don't start to say, oh, praise God, I've heard this message today. I'm going to go out now and I'm going to love everyone and everything. You will fall flat on your face, but the wrong sort of falling on your face. Unless this word, and we pray one for another, that we will be strengthened in the inner man, we will never, ever be able to take this burden on. We'll never move to apostolic faith, which is what God wants. Never will. So we have to start somewhere. And here it is. This is where we start. This is the real now growing. This is now the acid test. I can only speak for us and all those who are listening. This is the acid test now where we really start to move in and start to take the burden, the weight of God's love. And nobody can tell you that. Nobody can persuade you. This is our free will. This is our free will. That is what the apostle was praying here. It is what we are praying. It's what we should be praying one for another. I am praying my brothers and sisters, by God's grace, will experience this strength in the inner man to start taking on the burden, the weight. You see, like any building, spiritual building, as I finish now, the final part of a building, as you know as well as I do, is its roof. And the roof cannot be placed onto any building until firstly the foundation is strong enough. And not only, I might add, is the foundation strong enough, but the foundation's got to be strong enough to take then the walls and the pillars which are to bear the roof. It's actually the walls and pillars with its foundation that bear the weight of the roof. Why is it like that? Because walls or pillars are seen. Foundation isn't. Foundation isn't. That is why we don't see Christ. Although he is the foundation, he's the rock. We don't see him today. He doesn't visibly manifest himself today. Why? Because he's the foundation, and foundations are hid. But you are seen because you are walls, you are pillars. And those pillars are going to take the weight, which is the culmination, the fulfillment, the finishing. The roof, if you like, spiritually speaking, is the apostle, the apostolic. It is the anointing. And that roof has to be there, secure, held there, because when the lateral rain falls, the roof can bear it. What is a roof for? It's to keep us dry from rain. And it falls, and it falls, and it falls. And you see, the lateral rain, what we don't understand about the lateral rain is blessing for the overcomers, those who remain faithful, endure, but the lateral rain is also ushering in something else, judgment upon the wicked. And therefore they are not secure, they're not found under this roof, therefore this rain is going to judge them. The same as the rain that came down in the flood of Noah, destroyed all the face of the earth, and those eight souls were saved, so we have a similarity. Jesus spoke of it, a similarity in Matthew 24. So all of this deeper life teaching that we're receiving is about that we might be preserved. Because if God doesn't do this, no one is going to survive when the great tribulation falls. Amen. Father, again today, we thank you. We thank you that you know how to get our attention. You know how to speak into our lives. You know, Father, when something is very important to be said. And Lord, in our flesh, we feel like running away. It's awesome. It's too big. It's burning us up. But Lord, we know we have nowhere to run, for you have the words of eternal life. But Lord, our hope is that you are strengthening us in the inner man, that we can bear this weight, and that your grace will be sufficient. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. We do not look to circumstances, but we look to you, who is the author finisher of our faith. And Lord, I thank you today for being with us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us and you've revealed yet more of your love to us today. How anyone could reject that, I do not know. Let us just open our hearts and embrace everything that you have for us and more. And you will give us the strength to bear it. Because as you've revealed today, and it's just an inkling of it to what it is, that your love is also very weighty. And it is a cost. And so, Lord, we are completely at your disposal. We are bowed in your presence, at the foot of your throne. And everything we say and we do is a work of grace. And we make ourselves available that you will work this in and through us. Because we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Washed us.